Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Thank you so much for joining us again here on Defined by Moments as we now turn to Ezekiel chapter 27. You know, if you've been with us the last couple of episodes, we've been talking about, you know, shipwrecks in the Bible. And we've talked about Psalm 107 thus far. We touched on Noah, and I know some of you that didn't listen to that go, wait a minute, that was not a shipwreck. Well, I would encourage you, go back and listen to that episode to see how I got there. But Ezekiel 27 is where we're going to be. Now, you may be wondering, Joel, this is an Old Testament major prophet that doesn't really have any kind of a narrative. So how are we getting into a story or a situation where there's a shipwreck here? Well, when we get to Ezekiel 27, we see very clearly that this is a lament, a prophecy that is being offered by Ezekiel for the city of Tyre. Now, multiple times throughout the scripture, you will see even Christ in the New Testament say how it would have been better for Tyre and Sidon if certain things would not have happened. He was using them as an example because of the judgment that they would face. Well, here we are with this major prophet laying out what the issues are going to be. Now, why is this important? Well, let's look at chapter 27, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Now you, son of man, raise a lamentation over Tyre." Now, that word lamentation, we need to stop here for just a minute. It's a legacy. It's a dirge. That's an old way of saying that it is a serious reflection of the dead. Now, this is a city that is very vibrant. I mean, if we look at, you know, the history of the city, it's a Phoenician city. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 20, specifically verses 5 through 7, you're going to see that it's been around a long time. I mean, the prophet Isaiah says that its foundation has been from days of old. So we have an old city. It is on the Mediterranean coast, and, you know, it had a rocky coastal fortress, that apparently was a fortified city. Even if you go back into Joshua chapter 19, you will see that this area in the city was within the inheritance of the tribe of Asher, and it would never be conquered by the Israelites. This city, because of its location, was an economic powerhouse. Specifically, it was known for purple dye. It had peaceful relations with David and with Solomon. If you go back and look through the history of the early Israel kings, you'll see that Hiram, the king of Tyre, provided supplies and he provided craftsmen for the construction of the temple. So this was a city that had friendly relations with the Hebrews. And you'll also see that continued as the kingdom split in half. The evil wife of King Ahab, Jezebel, she was a Phoenician princess from the area around Tyre and Sidon. And this is the lady that led Israel, you know, towards pagan worship. So we can see the history of the city. But it's important that we look at verse 1, that this lamentation is to be raised, but then the why is explained. "And say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrances of the sea, merchant of the peoples of many coastlands, thus says the Lord of hosts." Again, because of their location, because of their shipping empire, they were very wealthy. And that was exactly where they placed their trust. And that's something that we need to make sure that we remember. And we'll get to that at the lessons at the end, that the shipwreck comes because they misplaced their trust. But look at verse 3. Ezekiel says, "O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. Your borders are in the heart of the seas. Your builders made perfect your beauty." So in other words, this is very clear for us that as a merchant of the coastlands, people that marveled at their beauty, that they would even say themselves that they were perfect in beauty. It shows where their focus is, and it's on wealth. If we go through verses 5 through 9, I'm not going to read them all, but look at the terms that are here, that are shipping and that are nautical in nature. You know, verse 5, it talks about planks. latter part of the verse, a mast, which is where the sail would be mounted. Verse 6, we see oars, we see decks. Verse 7, the sail itself. Verse 8, we see pilots. Verse 9, the caulking of your seams so that they would make sure that those vessels were watertight. And then finally in verse 9, this aspect of there are mariners. These individuals who spend their lives on the sea that come and know and understand how to be able to navigate the waters. So all of this shows that Tyre is focused in on the sea. But that's not it. The latter part of verse 11, we see very clearly, let's read that again. It says, the men of Arvad and Helek were on your walls all around, the men of Gerad in your towers. So it's speaking of their power, but notice they hung their shields on your walls all around. Why? They made perfect your beauty. So we see again this aspect of beauty being mentioned. So why? Why are they considered beautiful? Well, if you go through this and look even further in verse 12, you know, it says Tarshish did business with you. Why? Because of your great wealth of every kind. If you skip down to verse 16, you will see again, because of your abundant goods. And then again, we go down to verse 18. What do you see? We see again, because of your great wealth of every kind. So clearly, we're coming back to the beauty of the city where they're wealthy, there is abundance, there's prosperity. And the result was that they carried a heavy burden of finances. There was tremendous amounts of money that was, you know, traded hands in the city. Those ships carried the goods all across the Mediterranean area. So this was an area, a city, a location that became all about one thing, and it was the almighty wealth. If that were not bad enough, we see the good relations that they had with Israel. We now start to see that pride is arising in their hearts. And we see that God is about to deal them a mighty blow. Look down at verse 26. Well, let's back up to the latter part of verse 25. It says, so you were filled, and you were heavily laden in the heart of the seas. There are stories, you know, of the times here, even in America, with the pirates, where there were Spanish treasure galleons that were filled to the brim with gold. They were so heavy that when storms hit, they would sink. You can almost imagine the same thing of these Phoenician ships. But here we are in verse 26. Your rowers have brought you out into the high sea. You know, the wind wasn't enough to get them out of the port, so they physically had to row their way into the seas. Then verse 26 says, the east wind has wrecked you in the heart of the sea. That's where we turn to the actual aspect of a shipwreck. Look at verse 27. Your riches, your wares, your merchandise, your mariners, and your pilots, your caulkers, your dealers in merchandise, and all your men of war who are in you, with all your crew that is now in your midst, sink into the heart of the sea. So if we go back and look at verses 5 through 9, where we highlighted some of those nautical terms, we see them referenced here again, as that these ships have been reduced to nothing. They have been shipwrecked. They sank. They go to the bottom, and everything that is in them is lost. Look at verse 32. In their wailing, they raise a lamentation for you, and they lament over you. Who is Tyre, like one destroyed in the midst of the sea? In other words, the wreck, the absolute collapse of this city is just astounding. Verse 34, now you are wrecked by the seas, in the depths of the waters. Your merchandise and all your crew in the midst have sunk with you. So not only is Ezekiel offering this lamentation, but there are others that are seen in their mourning. They are appalled at the sudden and complete collapse of the city. Nothing half-hearted occurs at the sea, my friends. You know, we talked about this in the opening episode where we're looking at these shipwrecks. Is that the vulnerability that you have on the sea produces a humility that all of humanity must have. As the sailors say, you sail or you sink. What has happened with Tyre is they had a history of friendly relations with Israel. And now, because they have become so focused on wealth, they have become a city of nothing more than possessions and money, God is looking at them and going, it is time whereby we must deal with you. Now, this sounds awful, but I want to make sure that you understand there are significant lessons for us here in not only life, but also in leadership. And here's the first one. If people pay attention to you because of your money, they will leave you as soon as it is gone. Let me say that again. If people pay attention to you because of your money, they will leave you as soon as it is gone. You know, we may have wealth. We may be blessed at this time. And then all of a sudden, we've got friends everywhere. But they want some of the money. They're not necessarily interested in you. When that money is gone, they will go find someone else. You need to make sure that your trust, that your hope is not in wealth. Because if it is, you are going to be sorely disappointed. Number two, your job, my job in life is not to build possessions. Our job is to build people. God has put us here in order to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with others. But we need to go back and we need to look at the Great Commission. Yes, we are to go out and we are to share the good news of Jesus. But he is very clear in Matthew when he says, go and make disciples. We are to build people. We are to point in the right way. Far too often what we do is we focus on the toys that we can acquire in our life. We look at relationships with other people and can that take me to a specific place where I can get certain rewards? We become so self-centered. Instead, we need to be selfish. The other night, one of my children asked me, Daddy, what is the difference between a selfish and a self-centered person? Well, as that question was being asked, one of my other children was sitting at the table, held up their cup and said, Mom, can you go get me something to drink? I took this as a wonderful teaching opportunity. I said, let me tell you what a selfless person is. Your mother. She fixes all of your meals and puts them in front of you. That's selfless. She's serving you. I said, a self-centered person is the one that before your mom has ever fixed her tray, before she has ever sat down to take the first bite, then decides to hold up their cup after you have gulped down your drink and said, hey, go get me more. That's the difference between a selfish and a self-centered person. Instead of going and doing that yourself, they decide to do that on their own. What we have to make sure that we understand in our life is that we are here to build people. We are to pour into them, to add value to them, not to focus on ourselves. Number three, things do not bring triumph over the tempest. Boy, I said that awfully. Let me try that one more time. Things do not bring triumph over the tempest. All of this wealth, all of these goods, everything that they had within these ships were lost when they sank. The things did not produce triumph over the tempest. So if nothing is going to be able to help us during the storm, why do we put our trust in that? They flee. They go right through our fingers. But we so often turn our hearts towards them. And then lastly, this is kind of a spin-off of the one that I just shared, but this one means a lot to me. Things matter not in the tempest. You learn a lesson when it may be too late. You spend all that time accumulating all of these things and you go put them in the ship. And as that ship is sinking, you realize that everything that you have invested your life into is about to disappear to the bottom of the ocean. It's at that moment that you realize what really matters and what does not matter at all. My friends, please learn that lesson now. Things matter not in the tempest. You may learn that lesson when it's too late. Don't let that happen. Focus on what matters. Focus on what is valuable. And it goes back to what I said earlier. We're not here to build possessions. We're here to build people. That's how we leave a legacy. Jesus Christ came and spent roughly 33 years on this earth. His ministry was between 2 to 3 years. And all that he did is he picked 12 people and he spent his entire life devoting himself to them, to teach them. And then they in turn went and changed the world. That's the kind of lives that we need to be living. We don't need to be one of these where everything comes to us. I mean, even look at the history of the city of Tyre, the kingdom that was there. Hiram sent craftsmen. He sent supplies and materials to David and to Solomon. He was investing in them. Now, yes, you can make an argument that this was a political move because he did not want to get on the bad side of Israel. I'll grant that. But he's still investing in others. Are you doing that? Are you investing in others? Or is your sole focus in life and in your leadership to acquire things for yourself? My friends, if it is that latter, if all you are doing is seeking to gain things for yourself, the day of reckoning is coming. Why? Because you will look at your beauty. You will look at yourself and you will focus on the wealth. You will focus on the abundance. You will focus on the pride. And then unfortunately, you will face this aspect where your riches, your wares, your merchandise, your mariners, your pilots, your caulkers, your dealers, all of your soldiers, they will sink into the heart of the sea on the day of your fall. My friends, choose wisely to not hold on to the things of this world, but instead look to what God offers you. Learn that. Meditate upon it, and then in turn, invest into others. If you will invest in others, then your legacy will live on beyond your life. And most importantly, as a child of God, if you are investing in others, if you are discipling them, if you are sharing your faith, more importantly, you will take many people with you into eternity with God. Thank you for joining Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.